Your attention, please. The Thunder Mesa Limited, now leaving for a grand circle tour through the realms of Imagineering, Model Railroading, and Disney Trains. All passengers, board!
Howdy, folks. Welcome aboard the Thunder Mesa Limited. I'm your host, Dave Mee, coming to you from Thunder Mesa Studio in historic Jerome, Arizona. And like the man says, this is the show where we talk to all kinds of creative folks from the worlds of themed entertainment, modeling, trains, and Disney. Today, you're listening to Season 1, Episode 6, and we are excited to have as our special guest, Mr. David Erickson. David is the creator and host of Fresh Baked, an ongoing series of YouTube video logs that are all about simply having a great time at Disneyland. With nearly 140,000 subscribers and a consistently positive, upbeat message, Fresh Baked truly is, in my opinion, the best of Disney Baked Fresh Daily. But before we talk with David, please have a listen to this important message from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by the Zocalo Plaza Churro Cart, home of everyone's favorite south-of-the-border cinnamon treat. Yes, step right up for a fresh, tasty twist of deep-fried goodness. Made with love in our own Abuela's kitchen, sprinkled with cinnamon, sugar, and just a little pixie dust, it's a magical taste sensation. That's the Zocalo Plaza Churro Cart, next to the fountain and the statue of El Macho. Hours vary seasonally. And now, please welcome to the program, Mr. Freshbaked himself, David Erickson. David, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. It's nice to get you to sit down and just talk with you about Disneyland.
You bet. Happy to be here.
That's great. You know, you love Big Thunder and the Disneyland Railroad, so that alone qualifies you to be in this show, right?
Well, that's why I know who you are, because I'm a fan of your show as well. Your Thunder Mesa Studios is amazing.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I do what I can. I know you're a busy guy, so I'm going to put you on the spot right off the bat. I have a confession. I'm a muffin, and I've been a fan of your videos for several years, and like I mentioned in the intro, I think it's because of your consistently positive and upbeat message. And how do you do it? How do you stay positive all the time?
Well, on the one hand, it's part of my natural state. I'm an optimistic, positive person by nature, but I also choose it on a lot of ways. I could be negative, but it doesn't feel good. I don't like it. So I choose to be positive and upbeat as much as I can. It makes me feel better.
That's good. Yeah. How long have you been doing this now?
The show?
Yeah, the show.
Or being positive. About
years. How long have you been positive about the show?
Yeah, we've been doing it since 2013.
So what is that? That's a while. Yes. And how did you start vlogging about Disneyland?
I've been a pass holder off and on for most of my life. Well, my adult life, I should say, not when I was a kid. I actually was a late bloomer when it comes to being a Disneyland fan. Mm-hmm. But I was off and on annual pass, and I happened to get an annual pass for my family for a Christmas, many years ago. And I wanted to see what the parks were like at the time that I wanted to go. I wanted to see what's going on now, because it had been a little while since I'd been.
Right.
And YouTube was a thing since I'd been last. And I could not find what I was looking for. I could not find on YouTube what is happening in the parks today.
Like right
now? There's a ride-through, maybe, or something like that. But mm-hmm. I didn't get it. I wanted a feeling of what it's like to be in the park. Mm-hmm. And, after having spent that time there, I eventually came around to wanting to do something on YouTube. And I thought, well, nobody's doing this Disneyland thing, so I'm going to go in there and just turn the camera on and show people what the park is like today.
I think that's great. That's what's so fun about it, because it's obviously authentic and you're obviously having a great time while you're there, and that's, it's not scripted most of the time. It's just walking around. Here's what we're going to do. My favorite is like the Disney Winds, where he's like, where is it going to blow us today? What are we going to do? What does the park want us to do? In other words, But what is it you love so much about Disneyland? What is it makes you want to go back week after week?
When I'm there, it's like therapy for me because, you know, I'm a different person when I'm there. And what I like being there is just, I feel more free, more childlike. It brings out the best part of me. It brings out the best, you know, the kinder, nicer part of me, the friendlier part of me. Because I feel like that's the vibe that everybody has when they're at Disneyland. I've said before on camera, when I walk down Main Street, I feel like I could be friends with every single person on that street. And it's, for me, it's just about that feeling that I get that all these things that Disney's trying to do, I always feel like they're doing it just for me, and they're going out of their way, and they're doing things that other parks don't do because they don't, it's not for any reason other than it's just extra. Right. And I just like the way it feels when I'm there, that I am being taken care of, and that they're interested in what kind of time I'm having, and then I'm having a good time while I'm there, and they're putting on a good show.
Yeah, that's I have a theory. You want to hear it? I think it's Disneyland is kind.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
And I'm not talking about the prices, obviously, but it was built and designed with kindness in mind, to reassure us that things are going to be okay, that there's still kindness in the world. And I think people like you and me crave that. I think it's a basic human need. And that's why people want to go back again and again.
I think that's why the audience that I have connects with the message that I send.
Right.
Because they are congruent with that, you know,
right.
that you know, I'm a kind person. I want people to be kind. Disneyland is kind, as you said. I mean, it's a perfect loop.
Yeah. Now, pre-pandemic, you were going to Disneyland every single Saturday, right?
At least that, yes.
Right. And then you edit a series of trip reports and construction updates, and then they air over the following week. Plus, there's usually a weekly live stream, right, which I caught a few times. Now, going to Disneyland is not really work, per se. But I got to admire you. I got to say, I admire you for making a second career going to Disneyland. You're living the dream, pal.
It's not a bad life, I'll say that. I have no regrets. I mean, it is hard work. This is the hardest thing I've ever done, putting on this show.
Right.
You know, as a creator, I'm sure you understand how hard it is to make a video. Just to make a video is hard.
I don't think people appreciate how much work goes into editing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can shoot footage all day long, but editing is where the real work happens, and that's what takes an enormous amount of time. And the thing is when you do it right, it really doesn't show.
No.
So your work doesn't show. So it's kind of you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And I have to say, you do a really fine job. Your videos are very well edited. So that's high praise because I enjoy editing a lot. So. I like seeing it. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you ever get sick of going to Disneyland because it's a silly question that Disney vloggers get all the time. And obviously, you wouldn't do it if you got sick of it. But how do you keep from getting jaded? I mean, I go once a year, if I'm lucky. And I would be afraid that I would get jaded, that it wouldn't be magical anymore, special anymore after a while. Like, you'd start to notice flaws after a while.
I've thought about that before, and it's true that I would say if I'm not doing Fresh Baked, I'm probably not going every weekend. I would admit that. You know, that's just part of the routine now.
Right.
But I don't get jaded, and I don't feel, you know, like burnout or anything like that. And I think part of it is that I don't mind. I'm a very logical, practical person.
Right.
So I don't mind looking behind the curtain. I don't, you know, it's not the magic of Disneyland is part of it for me, and that's where people think that they're going to lose it. They go so much, they'll lose the magic. But right. I don't mind looking at the details and looking at the flaws and looking at, you know, looking behind the curtain and all that stuff. I enjoy that. I enjoy the construction. I enjoy peeking over the walls and seeing how things work. And so I guess that helps me it keeps my energy high. It keeps my curiosity high. There's always something to learn and something to observe. Every week. And then there's also the wins and the magic and all that stuff.
Right.
So it's, I mean, Can't complain.
Well, you understand the business of it too, the business side of it. I got to say, I love the construction updates.
I don't understand what's going on.
Right.
I
just tweeted right before I got on here. I said, "With great power becomes great responsibility, and also a $35 upcharge."
I have definite thoughts on that, but
I'll let you save them for your show. I don't want you to waste content. You know, content creators, we have to be like, well, you know, we got to dole it out.
Yeah.
Save it for your next update. I'm sure there has been a lot of news lately, man. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
I said it doesn't bother me that Disney's trying to make money. Not at all.
No, that's what they're supposed to do. They got to pay Sony.
I'm trying to make money.
Right. Yeah. So am I.
Yeah, right.
Gosh, that's why we're here. Well, you know, and I think about it. They've got to pay Sony a licensing fee to have Spider-Man in the park.
Yeah.
They own Marvel, but they don't 100% own Spider-Man. So, you know, there's some kind of deal going on there. So that just think of it that way. When you get that web slinger, you're helping pay Sony. Right. Man, I miss the Galaxy's Edge updates. Going up to the top of Mickey and Friends and trying to see anything.
There was a part of me that wished it would never end, that I could just keep doing construct. I was really sad when I filmed that last Galaxy's Edge update. It was a little sad for me because I wanted to. I just enjoy that so much, and right. You know, I was like, "What am now? What?" You know,
it's fun watching them move dirt around, and trying to figure out what's that going to be, what's this going to be with the, you know, the pool and the Hydron collider and the super collider. Yeah, it's like, what is it? What is it?
The fort,
right? What's it all going to be? Now we know. The mystery's gone. Now we know what it all is, and it turned out pretty cool, I have to say.
Yeah,
I was pretty impressed. I was lucky enough to be able. We were to take the whole family and go in January of 2020. We had a great trip. I mean, it was like the most perfect trip you could imagine. Right before. I mean, it was already in the news, you know, the pandemic was in the news.
I remember that. Sure.
And we had the good fortune to go, and I'm really glad we did, because we got to ride rides. You know, we did the whole thing in the morning, getting a boarding pass and all that stuff. So that was a lot of fun. Now, this past year and a half had to be an enormous challenge with the park closed, but somehow you've managed to keep it going, and now things are opening back up. But the annual pass program that made it possible for you to do this on the regular is gone. Does that concern you going forward?
Well,
because it's expensive.
Yeah. I don't even know what the number is that I've spent already on tickets. It's a lot. People ask me if I have, you know, how do I do it? And I said, I pay my way every single time, just like everybody else does. And that's a lot. I miss the pass a lot. I miss being able to just go, like when something comes up and I'm like, I just want to go there to see that thing. And you can't do that now. You have to plan it. And have a, you know, I don't like going to Disneyland like that, but right. I mean, I guess that's, you know, first world problems. I don't know. I'm just going to keep going until I can't do it anymore, I guess. I don't know. I thought I might go every other week, but I'm already missing those weeks off. Like this past weekend, I hated not being able to go to the park this past weekend.
Right.
And it hurt. It hurt a little bit.
Well, I saw your Knott's live stream, and I couldn't help thinking, Dave's a little disappointed. Knott's is great, but it's not Disneyland.
Not the same. No.
I'm a huge Knott's Berry Farm fan also. I grew up in Orange County.
Went
to Knott's more actually than Disneyland in the early days because it was free. You could just walk right into the park, you know, from Beach Boulevard. But yeah, so I'm a big fan. But yeah, I could just tell. It's just like, yeah, it's, you know, it's nice, but it's not Disneyland.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the AP. You think it's going to come back?
Yes. Well,
you've talked about this on your show.
I don't think it's not going to come back the way it was.
Right.
I think Chapek was very clear that we were getting the better end of that deal. in his last quarter report, people misunderstand that as being doing this strictly, you know, for shareholders' purposes.
Right.
He said it in those terms because it was a shareholders' meeting. He's talking to shareholders. So obviously that's the language he's going to be using. We're going to get something back. It's just a question of whether or not it's going to be, you know, something that resembles what we had before. I could see why people don't want it back. I could see why it may make sense financially to sell tickets a la carte. But if I know anything about business, I know that the holy grail of business is predictable income.
Right.
Something that you can put on the balance sheet on January 1st and know exactly how much you're going to make.
Right.
You know, every month for the next 12 months. That is, I mean, any business wants that. Right. To give that up is crazy town.
Right.
So they're gonna try to close the margin. A little bit. They're going to try to close the margin so that they're making a little bit more money. And it was a perfect. He said himself in the previous shareholders meeting that the pandemic was the perfect opportunity to do this. They couldn't have done it otherwise. They would have just kept on going doing what they were doing, because to end the program out of thin air would have been a public relations nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out for them pretty well. And I mean, I don't hold it against them. I don't.
Right. You think it'll come back as like a reservation system? Like what was that pass called that they rolled out right before the pandemic? I was looking at getting one because I live out of state and it would have been an ideal.
I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that, yeah, when it may be only a flex pass.
Right.
It may be reservations only. There will be no such thing as being able to just walk in and flash your pass. However, I do think that it's not going to be as... It's not as ominous as it sounds. I think you can still make a same day reservation.
Right.
I think that there will be enough capacity on almost any day you want to go that you could go the day you want to go. You just have to get online and make a reservation and then show up.
Right. Right. But yeah, I can totally understand them wanting to do that because it's the best of both worlds from the Disney perspective. They get that predictable income, like you say, and they also get predictable attendance. They know when you're going to be there.
They want that as much as they want the income.
Exactly. So they know how to staff for it. They know how to stock for it.
Stock, scheduling, all that.
Food.
Yes.
Yeah. Which restaurants do we need to have everything open? Do we not? Yeah. It's if they can make it work, and with the technology now, I don't see why they can't. I mean, with the app and everything, I don't see why they wouldn't do that.
I remember saying back when the FlexPass first came to be a thing, this is pre-pandemic.
Right.
That I said, if Disney had their way, I think it would be there would be no such thing as a non-reserved day.
Right.
Now I said that they would want everybody to have a pass, and they would want everybody to go on a flex pass system.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Right.
Obviously, you can't do that. But now that we've got this reservation system in place today, with even single day tickets, they've got that. They've got both worlds now. They can. Mm-hmm. Everything is. This is the greatest thing to happen to Disney.
The pandemic was the greatest thing that ever happened. Oh, God. You made a good point about he was talking to shareholders. People have to understand that business people like Chapek and Iger and all of the rest, they're going to couch their words and statements depending on the audience they're talking to. If he was talking to a bunch of Disney fans at D23, he's going to say things differently than he is at a shareholders meeting. People want to make him the villain, and I think the jury's still out on all that.
In the book, if you ask me, I think the stakeholders at Disney are happy with Chapek, to be honest.
He's Iger's handpicked successor too, so how did he know what he was doing up until that point? And then, not anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. How has being a Disney vlogger changed your life?
I work more.
Yeah. For less money.
I, as I alluded to before, I Disneyland has changed me as a person. It brings out the best parts of me, and being so invested in that on a daily basis, it has made me a better person just for trying to achieve that level of, you know, just, you know, like as a kindness and, and thoughtfulness and conscientiousness and all that stuff. It has made me a better person. And I know that sounds kind of cliche and corny to say, but that's how I feel. I feel like I'm a different person today than when I was 8 years ago.
Well, that's great. So it's been an overall positive experience. Otherwise you wouldn't be still doing it.
Yeah. No, and I'm not tired. I'm not. I could do this again forever. I could keep doing this. I always thought I might be tired, but I am not. I can keep on going.
You ever get tired of people yelling fresh baked at you?
Never. No.
You're in the middle of a conversation with somebody. Hey, fresh baked!
I just can't believe it's happening to me sometimes. I'm like, who am I?
Internet fame is a weird thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have nearly as many subscribers as you do, but I have a mild taste of the internet fame. And it's just like, wow, that's weird. Like, people think they know you. You know, it's odd. But hey, grateful. Be grateful. You know,
I am very grateful.
That's absolutely wonderful. Okay, I got a series. Now, some of these I know you've answered on AMAs in the past, but, you know, what the heck? I got you here, so let's do it. Where is your favorite spot to just hang out at the park?
It depends on what I am trying to, you know, the secret path. I don't know if...
Yeah, Splash.
I don't know that name, but the path between, you know, New Orleans Square and Critter Country that goes over Splash Mountain.
Right, Fowler's Landing.
What's that?
Fowler's Landing.
Yeah, Fowler's Landing. Yeah. Anybody who knows Fresh Bank, we know we refer to it as the secret path.
The secret path, right.
I consider that to be the purest place in the park. There's zero negativity, zero anger, zero anything. It's all positive, all happy, all smiles, all love, all that. And if I ever need to feel better, that's where I go.
Mm-hmm. That's a great spot. My favorite is probably Town Square. Just a bench.
Not either.
A bench by the flagpole. I could sit there all day.
Yeah,
and not going any, I know, and not going any rides or anything. Just watch the streetcar and listen to the gunshots from the Jungle Cruise and the train announcement coming and going. I could do that all day.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Okay. What's your favorite food in the entire resort? See, I know the answer to most of these, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
My favorite meal is the shrimp and grits at Cafe Orleans.
Oh.
It used to be the French dip at French Market, which is still good. But I do love a churro. I mean, ooh, I love a churro, and I love a Dole Whip float with the pineapple juice. There you go.
Yeah, Bengal barbecue is very
Bengal barbecue is fantastic.
Your show actually turned me on to Bengal barbecue because I had always just walked by there and never ate there. But after watching me, that's one of the best kept secrets in the park, I think.
I you're right, because people do they skip it.
Yeah, yeah. It's good food at a reasonable price. I mean, compared to theme park food, yeah.
Based on how much you want to spend, because it's barely, I mean, because sometimes they give you too much food. I don't want all that food.
Right.
Sometimes I just want a skewer.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of restaurants, they're going to start serving alcohol at Blue Bayou.
Indeed.
Yeah. I know you've talked about this, but what do you think of that?
Good with it. I mean, if they're going to sell alcohol at Oga's and you're looking for a reason or a way to sell alcohol at Disneyland proper, Blue Bayou is the place to do it. I mean, if any place should serve alcohol, it's Blue Bayou, I would imagine. It almost feels weird that they don't, you know?
Right, right. And you can get it at DCA at any number of places. So,
yeah. I don't get
I think that ship that. Is. I think that ship has left the station, as they say. There's no going back. Yeah. What's your favorite time of day at Disneyland?
8 a.m.
First thing in the morning?
Rope trip. Yeah. I like to sit talking about, you know, just doing reflective things. One of my favorite things to do is to sit on Main Street maybe the hub, maybe Town Square, something like that, and listen to people.
Right, as they're arriving.
That day. I've always said it's the most optimistic time of day. It's when people are at their, you know, there's no negativity. It kind of like the secret path. It's all about potential, you know, and you hear nothing but how great the day is going to be. You don't get any of that tired negativity going the other direction at 5 o'clock or 8 o'clock or whatever.
Right. What do you want to go on first? Right.
I love that.
Isn't that great? It's such a great feeling. You walk through those tunnels and you're transported and it's like, what are we going to do? I mean, everything. You're probably like me in this way. You miss the old days when you could just, the winds, you know, just wander and just, we used to do the park. We'd go in and go clockwise. You know, you go up Main Street and then you do Adventureland and then you do Frontierland and you work your way around. And you end up in Tomorrowland at night because that was the best place to be at night, you know, back in the day. But now you got to have reservations for everything. Now I sound like a grumpy old man. You gotta reserve everything in advance. I miss just being able to show up. And anyway, this is a good one. If you could live anywhere in Disneyland, where would it be?
Main Street, Town Square, Main Street. Yeah.
For me as a kid, it was Fort Wilderness on Tom Sawyer Island.
Sure. I mean that would be pretty great.
Back in the old days, we used to. My dad would take us, me and my brothers, and drop us off at the park and give us like $20, you know, because that would last all day. Because and we just buy an admission ticket, which I think was like $1.65, and go and get a D ticket. I remember it was a D ticket, and go to Tom Sawyer Island and hang out. This was before the days of annual passes or anything, so.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, you go. Just go hang out, run around, just exhaust ourselves. Go in the tunnels and go to the fort, and you could get a hot dog and a Pepsi and a bag of Fritos, and it was just a great, great day. Now for me as a kid, it was Tom Sawyer Island, but now probably upstairs on Main Street somewhere. One of the
I want to live above one of the shops.
Above one of the shops, I like the one that used to be the Wizard of Bras with the porch.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one, that's the one, because it's got that nice front porch. Best place in the park to watch a parade, too, if you can get it.
I think that's where Linklater did his filming on the opening day, was from that one of the churches up there.
Right.
Yeah.
If you could only change one thing anywhere, if you say you had a magic wand, anywhere at Disneyland, what would it be?
If I could change it.
One thing.
You're not talking about like bringing back the people mover or something right?
That's a later question.
If I could change one thing, I would love a redo on Toontown.
Mm.
I would like to see them add a little bit more. What's the word I'm looking for?
Shade.
It's a little. Well, shade, yes. Well, that's kind of where I'm going.
Right.
Organic. It needs something more organic in Toontown. It's too concrete, too plastic.
Kind of like what they did with Grizzly Peak, making it more. Kind of like what they did with Grizzly Peak, making it more green and approachable and comfortable and shady. And yeah, it's too much plastic and too much concrete.
Feel comfortable in Toontown.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's because you're not a toddler.
Maybe, I guess, but I mean,
well, I bet Sophie's really going to like Toontown when she's, you know.
We missed that. Yeah.
Well, next time. Is there an extinct attraction that you miss the most or have the fondest memories of? Speaking of people mover.
People mover question.
Maybe. I don't know. What's your answer?
Yeah, I miss the people mover. Above all, it's for me, the people mover is the perfect attraction for my taste. What I like to do in a park, I like slow moving rides. I like long rides. I like rides that allow me to see the park from different perspectives. Like the monorail does, you get to see the park from, you know, an angle or view that's not typical.
Right.
Those are some of my favorite things. And the people mover did all that. Plus it went through the other buildings. It went through the other
how
rides.
How cool was that?
coolest thing in the world, man.
Yeah, you get to see inside of Space Mountain. You get to see the Carousel Theater. You get to see the City of Tomorrow. The Super Speed Tunnel was a little overrated, but everything else was pretty darn cool in the People Mover. And, of course, it brought that great kinetic energy.
Yeah, the movement.
Which is so sorely missing now.
Yeah.
On that same note, do you think that people of our generations, I'll put that plural because I'm older than you, do you think we view Lost Attractions through rose-colored glasses because of nostalgia?
Definitely. But not in the People Mover case. But
but not in the case that you like, right?
Right, yeah. I did a video about adventures through inner space. And
that's the example I was going to make. Yeah.
Yeah, people opine about adventures like they want it back. I'm like, dude, that ride sucked. Okay.
Oh, he straight up said it. I was going to be much more diplomatic. Yeah.
There were parts of it that were cool. Obviously, the needle, the telescope and all that, the microscope. And
right.
There were parts of it. The soundtrack was great.
Right.
But you couldn't see anything.
Right.
It was the darkest dark ride of all.
I'm going to say this for the kids at home. Those of us that are old enough to remember Adventure Through Inner Space and rode on it as, teens or preteens, it was pretty damn hokey. The special effects were not very good. It was a free ride, and it was worth it. It didn't cost a ticket. It was sponsored by Monsanto, and they were, on the other hand, though, if it was done today with the technology available, projection mapping and all that, it could be amazing.
Build it that
way. Huh?
If they did bring back Adventure Through Inner Space, they wouldn't bring it back the way it was.
No.
So you're not getting it anyway. For those who are trying to, get nostalgic,
right?
You're going to get a completely different ride that, it's not even going to resemble the old ride, except for the microscope, I'm sure. But
the microscope was the best thing about it, where you'd see the people go, the Omnivores go in, and then you'd see them really tiny up at the top, like they shrank. That was to a kid, that was magic. That was neat.
I bought it.
Yeah.
I bought it.
100%. And then later, it was just a nice place to make out on grad night. That was about it.
I was too little for that myself, but whatever.
Well, I got a few years in here. Speaking of Tomorrowland, I've talked to friends in Imagineering about this. I've talked to people who are Disney adjacent from different places. I'm going to ask you, if you were the king of Disneyland, what would you do about Tomorrowland?
I would put a plastic bubble over the Nemo Lagoon and over Space Mountain, and then I would bulldoze the rest of it.
Really?
Which is actually what Rhodey wanted to do, but nothing else is sacred in that. That's it. That's all I want is you got to save that lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and save the trees on Utopia. Save the trees in Utopia. You can save Utopia while you're at it. The Nemo Lagoon and Space Mountain, everything else is up for demo. I want dirt. I want rubble.
Big piles of dirt. Another Mount Spielberg.
Dirt is potential,
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. I agree. It needs a total reimagining from the ground up. Space Mountain still works. The lagoon is beautiful. The subs themselves, I think we're in agreement that they're not coming back.
No, they're not, ever.
I don't think they're ever coming back. That's something I want to touch on a little bit later. But in your opinion, that said, what attractions are untouchable? Any?
All.
I mean, what attractions in the entire park are in the original Disneyland are untouchable, that should never be messed with?
I mean, apart from the stuff that I'm okay with demoing in Tomorrowland, I guess Toontown. So, but in any other land, Frontierland, Adventureland, Main Street, Town Square, anything else, everything is sacred to me at Disneyland.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably an untenable position.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that on a long enough timeline, everything is subject to decay and transformation,
right.
I.e. the Matterhorn. So,
right.
But if you give me a choice, I don't want to, every single Mr. Toad's, the treehouse, I love it all.
Right. Yeah. There's been some wild speculation about the Matterhorn. And I have actually participated in some of it because I've heard some things. And that after 62 years of rust and constant vibration, it's not as structurally sound as a building. And yes, it is a building as it should be. You think it's coming back. You think they're going to do like a rolling refurb of it?
I think so. I think they're going to try to think of it as like restoring an old piece of art. You know how they, you take an artisan and he spends the next 10 years or 15 years of his life restoring, you know, an old, you know, Van Gogh or something like that.
Right.
I feel like that's what they're doing, or what they are trying to do with the Matterhorn is to just constant TLC. And it's going to go up and down as a result. It's going to, you know, they're going to take it down and bring it back up, but they don't have a choice.
One side will be open, the other side will be closed, that kind of thing. Well, you know, there's parts in that. The main frame of the ride part is made of steel. But there are other parts in the mountain higher up which are wood, you know. They used to... I've talked to people that have been inside these things, and let me tell you, they loved their 8x8s and 6x6s back in the early days when they were building this stuff. And I was asking a friend about this. I said, do you think they thought it was going to last this long? Did you think they had the foresight to think that this is going to be around for 60 years? And no, I don't think they thought it was, because Walt changed his mind so much. You know, he was always doing something new. They didn't think it was going to be there for this long. So, and that's just how they built things in those days too. But you touched on this in one of your videos recently, and you said, because I think a lot of people don't understand this. You can't build the Matterhorn today the way it was built in 1959. In fact, that goes for a large number of attractions at the park. You simply cannot build them now the way they were built then because of accessibility issues, because of safety concerns and things like that, what they call the guest envelope around the ride vehicle. This is the reason why a new dark ride like Little Mermaid, aside from story issues, feels so different than the classic Fantasyland dark rides. They're cute and small and quaint. Because everything's close to you, but they can't build them that way anymore. The reason Little Mermaid feels huge is because it has to be. And the Matterhorn, if they were going to build it again, they'd have to go up against the berm. They couldn't put it back in the same place. It would be, I'm of the opinion that there are forces in play. This is your interview, and I want you to talk, but I'm going to tell you that there are certain forces that would like to see everything in the northeast quadrant of the park become new Fantasyland. You know, nothing is sacred from the Nemo Lagoon north. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there are probably competing factions, within the company that would argue that. It's such a, I get it. Right. I get it, but I can't bring myself to feel that way.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
And including your, you know, Autopia, your
man, it's like, you might as well get rid of Walt's cardigan.
Right?
I know it's lame and it's cheesy or whatever, but I don't care. It is Disneyland, in my opinion.
And, you know, sometimes I think it's lame and cheesy, but I'll tell you, every time I've ever been on it, I've had a good time.
I like walking by it. I just like, it's comforting.
It's the landscaping is beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. It's gorgeous. The way that the landscaping grew up around that track, if you look at the old footage where there was no trees at all, it's beautiful. And that's why I was saying, You could take Autopia if you want, but you got to leave them trees.
Right.
Trees. I got to find some way to keep those trees in there.
Yeah.
And if you replace that with a Tron ride.
More concrete and plastic.
Right.
Yeah.
Tron? Is there a single tree in the Tron universe? I don't know.
No.
Man, that's sad.
It's inside a computer. You know, one of the things I respect about you, as a Disney vlogger is that when you're reporting on rumors and stuff like that, you don't pretend to have inside information. You don't ever act like you know things that you don't know. And unfortunately, that's not something I can say about all Disney vloggers. I see some say, oh, we have... No, you don't. Some of them make stuff up. And I respect the fact that you always call a rumor and don't pretend that you know things you don't know. Because I'll tell you something. Disney is often so compartmentalized that even people who work in Glendale don't have the full story on any given day.
Oh.
And you can get wildly different versions of something depending on who you talk to. And I think certain mouse sites that shall remain nameless may have learned that the hard way. You know, you're going to get, oh, yeah, this is going to happen, but that person doesn't necessarily know the whole story, so...
I was with a cast member in front of the Tiki Room. When the Tiki Room was under refurb, I had a cast member walk up to me. She said, they're going to make this like a two-story thing with a restaurant on this upper floor and a whole new show.
Uh-huh.
And so to your point, people hear that and like, hey, this is the Disney person telling me this. It must be a thing. She don't know anything.
Yeah. I've heard some of the biggest BS stories from cast members, especially Jungle Cruise skippers. So they're a whole breed apart. They'll tell you anything. And the whole Disneyland Forward thing is a great example of that. You know, all that concept art they just released got everybody very excited for a couple of days. But nobody I've talked to has any idea what any of it's about.
Well, because there is no idea.
There isn't.
If I attended a town hall kind of thing, and they said, guys, they said it. There's concept art. You've seen it. That's just a person drawing stuff. As a matter of fact, we couldn't fit all that stuff in the park that they tried to put in that concept art. It's. I think the term he used was 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag. That concept art is zero real.
Right.
Zero. Except for the delineation between the DCA side and the Disneyland side that's split down. With the hotel, that much I'm down for it. I think that's a reality. But other than that, nothing you see in that art is real.
Right. It's really easy to draw in rivers and rock formations, and people go, "Oh, look, it's Wakanda." No, it's not.
What are you talking about, Dave? It was Wakanda.
It could be. Well, what I find encouraging, though, and I think you'll agree, is the fact that they're looking to expand and spend serious money in Anaheim, which up until recently I didn't think was on the radar.
Neither did I.
Yeah.
I thought they even had said as much. They said that their focus was on expanding in overseas markets.
Right.
And they did. I mean, they still are. But it's shocking to me sometimes how they're still willing to put money into Disneyland, considering they don't even need to.
Right.
Disneyland is killing it attendance wise, financially, and everything, just like it's been. And they wouldn't have to do a thing to that park for another 50 years, and it would still be the best theme park in the universe.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're still trying to make it better.
Yeah. Well, back to your show, you know, you have been blessed with several wonderful co-hosts over the years, Candy, Sarah, Ian, Ron, your lovely wife, Liz. What, in your opinion, makes a good co-host for Fresh Baked?
Well, I don't know. I never really thought about it. I guess there has to be some kind of chemistry with me because I'm driving the thing. But I don't know. Be whimsical, I guess, is about the only thing that I ever ask, you know, have some imagination and open mind and be whimsical, be open to experiencing the park the way that I do.
Right.
You know, I guess, but otherwise I don't really have a set of rules there. I work with what I can.
I think Ian is a great foil for you because he's basically like a grumpy old man. You know, I know he's younger. He's much younger than both of us, but he can seem that way. Now, Ian, if you're listening, don't get me wrong, man. I'm a grumpy old man myself, so I can totally relate and respect that. I just think it's a perfect foil for your exuberance. You know, you'll be going, this is great. Ian, and he'll be go, yeah, it's okay.
One of my favorite exchanges that I had with Ian was talking about when they were working on the tracks down Main Street when they were remodeling the trolley.
Right.
Horse-drawn streetcar. And I was looking at the little thing you're trying to, you know, the where it splits, right?
Yeah.
Where it can redirect the track. And I said, that looks like it's going left.
Mm-hmm.
Not right. And, you know,
yeah.
And Ian's like, why? I said, don't need a reason, Ian. I said, you don't need a reason. They're just doing it. Okay. He couldn't. That's Ian. He needs a reason. It's got to be logic. And I'm right. A logical guy, too. But when I'm in the park, I'm very whimsical. I'm like, I don't care. Just go left if you want to go left. They don't need a reason. And that drove him nuts. That drove him nuts. And I was so pleased when that track turned left, when they brought that horse-drawn streetcar and it went left. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's great because that's a good segue. So let's park hop over to DCA now. We've done Disneyland pretty much. Now, there are some wonderfully themed areas and a couple of problematic ones there, too. I mean, you remember when it first opened. It's vastly better than it was. But if you were king of DCA, how would you fix the Hollywood backlot?
Again, that's nothing is saved. Nothing is spared.
Right.
You demo every bit of concrete and mortar and everything. The entire lane has got to come down. All of it.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I got to say, the entire movie studio park concept is tired. And probably the weakest addition to every single park and resort that it's in. Just look at any of the other ones. Florida, Paris, DCA, take your pick. It's the weakest part of the parks.
The only way you do movie studio as a themed land is when it's real, like they do at Universal.
Universal, yeah.
But a fake backlot is dumb.
It is dumb. I think it's a holdover from it's a throwback to Eisner, and he was trying to beat Universal at its own game, and he failed. It's not a real movie studio, like you said, right?
It's not.
It needs to be something else. Monstropolis was an idea that was thrown around. There was some concept art that leaked out for that. And now Disney Plus has a new show on Monstropolis. So, you know, that might have legs again. Who knows?
Well, I don't know if you could carry a whole land with... I mean, I suppose you could. A monster's land... That's something that I could see them trying to do that. And that would be certainly an improvement over the back lot. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I thought the one rumor that I thought had legs was when they were talking about the Runaway Railway being anchored there.
Right.
Part of the whole Eastern Gateway project. And they were going to take over DCA, or the back lot was going to take over some of that tram or the bus loading area, and they were going to grow that land and make it a whole Mickey's world, basically.
Yeah.
I like the sign of that. But that didn't happen either.
Well, the whole Eastern Gateway thing didn't happen. Yet.
They're still trying.
Yeah.
They're still trying.
Yeah. And have you warmed up to Pixar Pier?
Yes.
You like it? You like it now?
Yeah. I don't need much, you know, to make me happy. And the last few times that I've walked down Pixar Pier, there's a quality to it that harkens back to Tomorrowland and what we were talking about before with the kinetic energy.
Right.
And, you know, having the Incredicoaster, you know, moving constantly, the sound of the screams and the fun wheel and screaming people on the fun wheel.
Yeah.
And there's a certain energy to it that I can appreciate. The problem that I had with Pixar Pier or Paradise Pier in the past was that it was the literal thing that Walt was trying not to do.
Right.
And they built it. They built what Walt hated.
Right.
I'm just like, why would you do that?
Because it was edgy and cool. They were trying to appeal to those teens, you know.
It's got its uses. I really the view from the opposite side is beautiful. It's amazing. But it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the Incredicoaster. It's a great roller coaster, but it was a great roller coaster before. The overlay I thought was
An IP in there, so you know that was somebody's initiative to do that. You know, they got to put an IP on everything.
Yeah, somebody got a bonus for that.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to most in Avengers Campus, which opens June 4th? By the time this airs, Avengers Campus will be open. So, I said by the time this podcast airs, Avengers Campus will be open. So, what are you looking forward to?
There's not a thing that I'm not looking forward to. That I am surprised by how excited I am about what they're the way that they're building the hype for this is perfect for me. I mean, the food looks great. Like, I love the costumes. Mm-hmm. You know, I even don't mind spending $65 for an upgrade to, you know, for my Spider-Man experience, the Doctor Strange,
right?
The lights, the color, there's going to be action on the rooftops. Come on, I'm in. I'm good. I can't wait.
I want to see that Spider-Man animatronic fly through the air.
Yeah.
I hope it works consistently.
I hope it works more than just for the first week or so, and they keep doing it because it. I will be really upset if they only do it, you know, for the first month or two or something like that, and they wind up stopping, because that's the kind of thing that they would stop doing.
Yeah, like the X-Wing drones over Galaxy's Edge.
What's that?
Like the X-Wing drones over Galaxy's Edge, which were only done for the opening and then never again.
Yeah, not even our opening. Yeah. The opening, we didn't even get it at all.
Right.
So, yeah, that kind of, I wanted more out of Galaxy's Edge in that regard. You know, that show they did for the media preview was great. Only time they ever did it. Luckily, I got a little video of it, but I mean, Greg, that would have been such a fun thing. It's been such a fun. It would have been a reason to be in Galaxy's Edge at 6 o'clock. You know,
right?
Did you see the Galaxy's Edge show?
Right. That was a glimpse at the entertainment that was cut, that was promised, and then they cut it out of the final. Land. It's too bad. Still an amazing looking land, but it lacks kinetics, you know.
Well, because everything is indoors. Right. That's why I've said it needs a D-ticket for kids, a spinner, something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Something that creates a little energy out there.
They could do a really cool spinner that looked like it was made out of old droids. You know, junky old droids or a land speeders or something. Yeah, come on. A little imagination, that'd be fun. So Avengers Campus is opening June 4th, and I'm sure you'll be you'll have coverage of that. I can't wait to see it.
I can't wait to film it.
I can't wait to live vicariously through you going, actually getting to go there. That'll be great. Oh, anything else? What else at DCA? What's your favorite ride at DCA?
I guess Radiator Springs. I mean, it's a high quality ride.
I heard someone say that it's the closest thing we have now to Nature's Wonderland, which I thought that was an interesting take. Just the first part of the ride.
Big Thunder isn't?
Yeah, I would say. I would argue that Big Thunder is the closest thing, but most of it goes by too fast.
That's why they're saying that, but because it's kind of slow and you kind of. Yeah, there's scenic surroundings and all that, but
and the caverns at the end.
For me, Raider Springs is the it's the benchmark for making you feel like you're in a place. You know, you're actually there. It's all around you. It's a 360 experience, just like Rise of the Resistance is a 360 experience.
Right.
You're in Rise of the Resistance. You're not on it. You're in it.
Yeah, you feel like you're in Star Wars. Yeah.
Yes.
And in that regard, it's a great success, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People underestimate, or they don't give that enough credit. What they did, they can't, for whatever reason, they can't appreciate. They see it for other things. That, you know, it's trackless. It's not a roller coaster. It's a dark ride or whatever. But you don't. You're missing the point of what's happened. You're missing the scope, the scale of what they did.
The audacity of it all.
Yeah, that's exactly the word I used, was audacious.
Mm-hmm.
It took tremendous audacity. Tremendous audacity to build that ride the way they did.
Right. Yeah, you got to give credit where credit is due, because originally they said, "Well, we'll just reskin Tomorrowland as Star Wars Land." That was the original plan. Yeah, and Iger said, "No, make it bigger, make it better, spend more money." Gotta love when they do that. What is it you say? Extra, do something extra. Give me something. Yeah. Give me something sure, extra. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, David, that hour flew by.
It did. It went by fast, didn't it?
It was nice talking to you, man. It's nice to, you know, we've met. Do you remember?
In Parks?
No, we met at Walt's Barn. At the 20th.
I was admiring your Walt's Barn model.
My
right
Walt's
there,
Barn model, yeah. At the 20th anniversary shindig with Tony Baxter and Kim Irvine and all those people.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I don't remember, but I mean, I met a lot of people that night. So,
well, so did I.
no, that's interesting. I wish I had known then.
Yeah, you were there with Ian and Liz and Adam the Woo.
Adam was there as well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was a fun night.
It was. It was a great night. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah.
You're taking with Tony Baxter and everything.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I enjoyed this a lot. Come back again anytime. I appreciate you coming on, and you know I can talk about Disneyland endlessly, and so can you. So we've got that going for us. I really appreciate it, David. One thing I want you to do before we go is you got to say it. You got to say it. There you go. I got you to do it. That's perfect. Now I owe you a royalty. All right, man. Thank you, David. I really appreciate it. And we'll be seeing you on the YouTube.
Sounds
thanks,
good. Man. All right. Thank you, Dave.
And that is our show for this month. Thank you so much for tuning in. And many thanks to our guest, David Erickson. You can find David's show on YouTube. Just search Fresh Baked with an exclamation point. Also on Twitter at Fresh Baked Disney. That's fresh with no E. And on Instagram at _FreshBaked. I hope you'll join us for episode 7. That'll be airing the first week in July. Until then, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And you can do that via direct RSS feed at thundermesa.studio/podcasts or on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are streaming. If you'd like to help get Thunder Mesa Studios podcasts and videos on the air, please consider joining our Patreon campaign. Our patrons get early access and exclusive content for as little as $3 a month. You can find out more at patreon.com/thundermesa. And now, folks, I've got me a train to catch. Keep moving forward, amigos. Adios for now.